If you're just joining us, we're spending some time this hour getting to know the candidates in one of the more notable races in this fall's election. Voters will put a new county commissioner on the three-member board in Jackson County. Doug Breitenthal is the current occupant of commissioner position 2, but he lost in the May Republican primary. Bob Strasser represents the Republicans in the November election, and Jeff Thomas is the Democrat. We visited with Jeff Thomas earlier on the hour. Now we get to hear the convictions and positions of Bob Strasser. Bob Strasser, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me here.
It seems like in a lot of your campaign materials, you hark back to your police career, which you spent decades as a police officer and commander. What did you learn from that could help as a commissioner?
The issues of dealing with people, dealing with problems, solving problems, belief in the system, fairness, transparency. It was a great training ground, wonderful career. When it was time for me to go and retire, I did.
16 years you spent on the Medford City Council, including a couple of stints as council president. What got you back into running for office?
I had a change in my family. I lost my wife to cancer and decided that I wanted to reengage and did. I started with the budget committee for the city, then eventually was elected in 98 to the city council. I spent 8 of the 16 years on the city council as part of leadership for it. So running budgets, doing land use issues, dealing with 7 labor groups, there was all kinds of things in a learning curve there. Land use probably was one of the toughest.
Well, land use is where you seem to focus some of your attention. I mean, you do praise the quality of life in Jackson County. Give us some points that fall in the domain of Jackson County government that you would like to focus upon to maintain that quality of life.
Well, in the county areas, you've got the issue of taxation, the budget, mental health, courts, public defender, DAs, all of that stuff is basically part of their domain in one form or another. In the case of the sheriff, he's duly elected as his own, but his budget is in cooperation with the county, and the budget is a finite thing. We're not like the federal government. We have to have a balanced budget. So what there is, there is.
Well, then let's talk about the budget part of this, because it's well documented. Jackson County, one of the so-called O&C counties, where a lot of the general fund budget traditionally came from timber cutting on O&C lands through much of the 20th century, the former Oregon and California Railroad grant lands now managed by the BLM. When trees were getting cut down, the county budget was flush, and when they weren't, it was in the dumps. Because of the timber wars of the last 20, 30 years, not a lot of timber cutting going on. How do you want to see those lands managed, or is that something that Jackson County needs to just move on past and focus on something else?
I'm not sure that the county needs to move on past it, but I think the only way they're going to be able to approach it is in a collaborative way with the other O&C counties. I mean, the whole design of the O&C Act was to have sustainable harvests, and the problem is the management entity, which is BLM, has basically determined or has a different understanding than most of the O&C counties has, and the sustainable harvests are quite constrained. That is money that would benefit the people here, put people to work. Do we want to spend all of our energies in that? No, I don't think so. But we do want to work with our federal electeds, and in that particular case, for the last 4 straight years, bills have been sent to the Senate with no action taken on them. I don't know where our federal electeds are on that, but it would be nice if they would simply deal with it. The bills presented by Congress were some that would help solve the problem.
Are you talking about safety net money or a different approach to timber management?
I'm talking about a different approach to timber management and what the intent of the O&C Act was. Now, we don't want to spend all of our time on that, but it's an issue worth paying attention to, and if we can work with the other counties, great.
So you would like to see more timber cutting, is that?
I would like to see sustainability in that cutting, and I think we're well below that level at this point. And in fact, we're building up fuel in these forests, which are creating fires, which are destroying some of the forests. The Indians were pretty smart about that. They would build, they'd burn some of the undergrowth just to keep it clear so that the fires didn't get up into the crown of the trees. Now we've got a lot of fuel in those forests due to a lack of thinning.
Bob Strasser, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Republican candidate for Jackson County Commissioner, position number two. You talk about preserving our agriculture and property rights. Let's talk about agriculture first. Your opponent talks about touting the GMO crop ban as a reason for Jackson County being on the map. Do you see it the same way? Is it a good thing? Is it something you'd like to see undone?
The GMO thing, basically, it's the will of the people and what I'm going to be enforcing. And, you know, this is, we talk about Republican and Democrat, but when you're representing people, it's not a DNR thing. It's you represent everybody. GMOs have had an effect, but in terms of agriculture, you know, I've been attending steadily the Farm Bureau meetings since before the primary and hearing their issues. When you're representing a county, you want to know what the farmers, the ranchers, all of them, have as concerns, not just the city dwellers. And in that regard, I see where we need to do more outreach to the cities themselves so that the county commissioner is actually visiting with them, seeing what their issues are. And dealing within the county, there's a lot of expertise and a lot of things that could be shared among the different communities and the county. Some of the smaller cities would obviously benefit by that. We don't all have to purchase the same piece of equipment. We might be able to work out things. We've got a jail that has 62 beds that isn't staffed. We need to work on that. And it's not a funding issue. It's a staffing issue. It is funded. The same with mental health. We have vacancies there. They are funded. We haven't been able to provide the certified staff.
So you say the money is actually allocated for the hiring and it hasn't happened?
That is correct. It is not a funding or budget issue. And what happens when mental health isn't properly staffed, police officers are dealing with that, and that's really not their expertise. The jail isn't the place for mentally ill.
And so, I mean, just in, if the county had completely staffed the mental health department, would it be doing, you think, all the things that it's supposed to? I mean, are you convinced that mental health is on the right track the way Jackson County manages it?
I think mental health is on the right track if they can get the certified people to staff it. You know, we have the walking wounded out on the street. We see them. You see them. I see them. Jail is not necessarily the answer for them, okay? They have many, two-thirds of them, alcohol, drugs, or mental illness. And they live along the Greenway. They live in different places. It's distressing. Some of them actually choose that lifestyle. We have a lot of veterans that are out there, and that's a concern to me, too. I am a vet. I think we could be doing more there, but we need to staff the positions before we can.
Okay, as long as we're talking about homeless people, let's move on to the topic of affordable housing. I mean, this is generally an urban issue. Jackson County is not a city, but it certainly has cities within it. What can the county do to try to help secure more spaces that can be rented for prices that don't price people out of the market?
Well, you know, Jackson County does engage, but it's in the form of Jackson County Housing Authority. And in, let's see, they just are building the project there behind the Mail Tribune. And that'll be a nice addition to it. It's close to government facilities and transportation, which is important to people that have economic challenges. What we really need are family wage jobs, economic development, working with SoReady, Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development, Inc., the Angel Network, the Technology Group, trying to attract more family wage jobs here that are basically good for our area, good for our environment. The affordable housing issue, cities have some tools that were passed in 2016. I think it's SB 1533 that gives them the voluntary option about inclusionary zoning and a construction excise tax. And most of it relates to multifamily. You know, you don't see subdivisions being built in the county. Most of them are in the cities, and it's because of availability of water and stability of water, all of that. But if they wanted to implement those things, they could do it. In the one case, MFR 20 multifamily residential, 20 per acre, they could dedicate 20% of that to affordable housing, which is 80% of the median income. That's the definition for it in this case.
On your website, it says that you want wise land and water growth policies for Jackson County. Here again, I guess we're talking about rural areas. So how are the rural areas being built up now that you would like, or land use being handled there now that you would like to see done differently?
Okay, well, let's take it right back to Senate Bill 100, okay, which dictated that most of the growth they wanted to see was within urban growth boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Move fast forward to the current situation where we have what's called regional problem solving, the RPS process,
mm-hmm.
which essentially took the entire time I was on the council to get approved. We were the only place in the state that got it approved. But the first goal of RPS is to determine how to protect ag lands and where not to build before we decided where to build. It also wanted to keep buffers between cities so that they could have their individual identities. Talent could be Talent, Ashland could be Ashland, Medford could be Medford. And it gave a little bit of relaxed flexibility in terms of some of the land use laws. Do we all still have to deal with the DLCD, Department of Land Conservation and Development? Absolutely. But the one-size-fits-all thing was given a little bit of a break.
Jackson County has tweaked it, in essence.
Yes, and a lot of the cities were in it. Ashland wasn't. Jacksonville wasn't. But, you know, that's their right. For the rest of us, that's good.
You mentioned economic growth and mentioned SoReady, Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development Incorporated, by name. What is the county doing to assist SoReady or any other entity involved in economic development that it isn't doing now, or is the county doing about the right thing, you think?
The county is doing about the right thing. They have budget money that goes to them to help them, and it's basically to help sustain existing businesses. They have a loan program as well as to attract new business. We want to be very careful that we take care of the businesses that have chosen to locate here already. And one of the other facets that cities have been using, county, is enterprise zones. However, enterprise zones have, it's kind of a double-edged sword. When giving someone an opportunity and tax breaks and all of that in an enterprise zone, you want to be sure not to disadvantage current local businesses. So the county is engaged already with SoReady.
All right. So what do you think about incentives generally? Is it the kind of thing you'd rather not lead with? Or, I mean, what are the appropriate places to provide incentives on taxes, particularly for a place where tax money can be rather dear?
I want to be very careful with the incentives, and that's why I really focus more on the small and medium-sized business than the large one. The large one seeks great advantages, and when they leave, it hurts very bad. So a lot of smaller ones, I think you fare better. And the big ones, of course, they do seek whatever they can get. And when it doesn't work, they leave.
I'm not hearing a burning desire for what to do on day one here. So let me just ask that question. What's the first thing you would like to do if you get elected Jackson County Commissioner?
The first thing is better communication with the people that we serve. And that's by traveling around, meeting with basically all portions of the county and all the cities. Meeting with the department heads, and especially the ones that I would have any responsibility for, understanding what their issues are. You know, you don't just go in and start stirring the pot. You go in and you try and learn and figure out where everything is. I've got, 43 years in the public sector at this point. I've supervised hundreds of people. I would want to get in there and actually have someone that they could identify with and talk to, and we could work through the issues. And we're going to have a lot of them. PERS is one of them. You know, that's
because you got a big chunk of money that it's going to get big devoted to pensions, not paying for any services now.
Yeah, I think the debt burden is about 27% now for PERS. And, you know, there's $4 million in each of the three bienniums that we face that we're going to have to fund due to the increased cost. And I think the first biennium is pretty well taken care of. Some of it will be dedicated money. Some of it will be out of the general fund. But the next two bienniums, $4 million each, so that's over 6 years, you've got a lot of money that's going to be coming out. We're going to have to be planning for that. And like I said, we don't get to run an unbalanced budget.
No,
by law,
don't.
It has to be balanced.
Bob Strasser is a Republican running for Jackson County Commissioner, position number 2. He is facing Democrat Jeff Thomas, who joined us earlier in the hour. Bob Strasser, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thanks for having me.